Welcome to the New Life Help Now podcast, where we give you professional help for your life now. We specialize in equipping you with usable life relationship tools that will help you in the workplace and at home. You'll find valuable information that will help you find peace with others and with yourself when you're all alone. Without further ado, the Life Help Now podcast. Welcome to our podcast. Today is February 16th, 2015. My name is Darren Dixon, the host, and if that's what you want to call it. And we have over here Miss Brenda Dixon, a licensed clinical social worker. And over our past couple of podcasts, we've been talking about anxiety, and we have a little bit more to say about anxiety again today. And you were going to share something with us about physical wounds, and you had a client that you wanted to share something about.
Well, we established in the last podcast that anxiety can come as a result of dealing with physical or emotional wounds. And we talked about the emotional wounds that people experience. And Darren asked me, what about the physical wounds?
Yeah.
And when I tell these stories, I usually give the gist of the story. Some of them may be females, some of them may be males. Some of these stories may have been 26 years ago, and some of them may have been in 2014, 13, 12. Right. So I try to keep the confidentiality of my clients. Even if they were to listen to this podcast, they would not know for sure whether it was them or someone else. So when I tell the stories, I want you to know that I am preserving each client's confidentiality.
That's good.
So I have a situation where a young boy was in a situation. He was, it was nighttime, it was late at night, and he was going from his home to visit a friend. Mm-hmm. And it was a long set of concrete steps. And as he was coming down the steps, he tripped, and he does not know to this day what he tripped on. And one leg went one way, and one leg went the other direction. He said, "I just look like a rag doll."
Oh.
And he couldn't even get up. He does not know what happened. And they call the 911, whoever the neighborhood was, someone in the neighborhood called. And many operations later, this young lad could not look at the wounds. They were that horrific to him. He had been through so much. The doctor said, "You have experienced it was like a long list of things." And they patched up one thing, and then when they patched up, they'd have to patch up something else. And so he had experienced many times of being in this medical environment.
How horrible.
It was really sad. And he got to the place where he could not look at the wounds. It would create anxiety. So he had to have lots of medication. And I'm talking about for the wounds, but he had to have medication for anxiety, and he had to have medication just to make it through a week, and lots of counseling. So that was an example of how a person dealing with a physical wound would manifest or create within their heart anxiety. And what was the anxiety? Great amounts of fear.
Well, how do you get out of something like that?
Oh, it just took... It's a whole process. It's like he had to go back and restructure his whole mindset, his whole everything, because he'd been traumatized so much. I mean, he had just been traumatized several times over and couldn't, he had to have people help him to help him in a wheelchair and walk. And then he, you know, he walked with a walker and then he walked with a cane and still didn't want to look at the wounds. And so, yes, he experienced quite a trauma. And, he did begin to heal. He did begin to heal. The healing for him had to be first physically.
Right.
Then emotionally. And then the anxiety began to subside. But he could have anxiety in the wee hours of the morning. Just, he'd be laying there thinking of what, how he splatted, you know, how he was like a rag doll. And that would traumatize him all over again. So anyway, that was an example, not to bring everybody down.
Whoa. So
let's move in an upward direction now.
did he get through that mentally? I mean, did he stay with you for all of the...
He had to go on to higher ground, but he did stay for quite a while. But he had to go on to higher ground and like a team. But that was... that was this particular situation,
but
that was unique.
He was able, while he was with you, was able to see some improvement. He's, and make progress.
He made improvement. He saw progress. He just had so much surgery.
Oh, wow.
That it made it, you know, it just made it where he had to have a team take care of him. But, he did improve. He made it through to the next level.
That's excellent. And I guess that happens sometimes. I mean, people that are really, that do need a lot of help. Mm-hmm. I mean, they come to you, and I guess if it's, you refer them to a team or something, mm-hmm. If they need more than, or they either, they need more than what you have available for mm-hmm. them.
He was a unique situation. His life changed in one night.
Wow, that's a tough one. What else about anxiety?
Well, people can produce anxiety for other people. Remember, I'm a relationship counselor.
Okay.
And so other people can get up in somebody else's pudding. And they don't have any anxiety at all, except when they're around that other person. And, you know, there's a lot of business. I mean, this is the Music City, and there's a lot of musicians, and there's a lot of I have lots of musicians that...
We're in Nashville, in case we didn't say that before. I don't think we've ever said that.
I know.
Nashville, Tennessee.
That's right. And... I'm really fortunate to get to help people in the music industry, and I love that. The exciting thing is that I get to see people start feeling better. I get to see people transformed, and that's part of the good stuff for me. I've even had people say, "How do you sit here and listen to this all day long?" I said, "You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. I don't listen to this. I'm thinking of what might help this person. And it doesn't pull me down at all. It's exciting to me." So back to the people that have anxiety because of other people. Let's say that you have a management team.
Okay.
And you are the musician. They might be telling you to do certain things in certain ways that aren't the way that you want it done, and it may be anxiety producing.
Mm.
So they have to know what to do with that. Or you may be the management team, and you may be feeling anxiety because your musician that you're in charge of isn't doing what you want, or isn't thinking the way you want, or progressing the way you want, or whatever. So it swings both ways. But it all boils down to one thing, the mindset, the way you think.
And what you're focusing on.
Mm-hmm. You focus on the dark side, guarantee, dark side comes up. You focus on the light side, guaranteed, light side comes up. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. it's like a feedback loop in music terms. It's like it, you know, something, you know, I'm a musician, also, for those of you that didn't know, and I'm into production also, so I know about sound and that type of thing. But if you get a microphone and you point it into a speaker that's turned on, the sound from the speaker goes into the microphone, and then it starts to go on it faster and faster until eventually you hear that high-pitched squeal, or actually it's whatever frequency is the loudest that does it, and that's called feedback. That's what that painful sound is. And what happens is, if I understand things right from what you're saying, if you amplify something, that's what you're going to get more of, and by focusing on it. And it seems like the anxiety is just when that feedback loop from the microphone to the speaker to the microphone to the speaker gets out of control and you can't stop it. So it's got enough power that it just keeps on recirculating on its own until finally you can't do anything about it unless you move that microphone away and put something else into that microphone.
Yes, absolutely. And you said the squealing. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say that, but I wonder if that isn't what some people are actually hearing that first couple of visits. They just can't, it's like they can't even hardly explain what's going on inside of their being.
Do many people struggle with anxiety that comes into your, that you work with?
A lot of people do. A lot of people do.
So if one of the listeners is struggling with it, I mean, it's, they're not really isolated, because it seems like it's a lot of people really struggle with that.
Well, let's take a school teacher.
Okay.
The school systems have changed in a way that the teachers are not as able to be as creative and unique as they really want to be. And I think a school teacher is a wonderful career. And one of the things that a teacher wants is to be able to impart into her student.
Right.
But if she can't impart into her student, it's like she's being tied up and told to run. It's just really difficult for her. So I just can see where that would produce some form of anxiety. And I mean we're focusing on anxiety. I'm not saying everybody is. I'm just taking just my little population that comes to me that I see that experience it in a small degree, in a moderate manner, all the way up to major. And of course, if it's major, they might have to be hospitalized. But if it's not major, and if they can really hear, and the squeal isn't too loud, I like that. If it's not too loud, then they can start to zero in on what they can do that day, the next day, the next day, until the next time I see them. And sometimes I may see them twice a week, or sometimes I may have phone consultations twice a week, only because they're headed in a direction. And a whole week is too long.
Right. So some of your clients, I guess that's an option too for someone that really needs it. And I can understand that, because on some of our previous calls, you had mentioned that we kind of, it's like a renewing of the mind, and you got to change your mind. And a lot of times your mind's in a habit of doing something.
Yes.
And 1 week is too long. Whereas you could schedule 3 times in a week if you needed to help retrain that mind if things are on that fast of a downward slope and you're trying to turn around and face the other directions.
Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is we're resetting something.
Like a chiropractor.
Yes.
And a chiropractor, you go to a chiropractor, they want you to come like after a wreck or something. They'll want you to come sometimes every day, and then they break it down to maybe 3 times a week for a while, and then after a while, once a week. And
Yes. So it kind of depends on the person and how well they know themselves, or how much they're willing to work on it. You know, maybe it's too difficult to work on it. Maybe it's just too painful to have a phone consultation more than once a week.
Right.
And yet, everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to have a thriving business. Everybody wants obedient, happy children. So let's take the steps that it takes to get there.
So here's one for you. What happens if there's somebody out there listening that doesn't have an anxiety problem, but someone else's anxiety problem is causing problems for this person, and now there's issues beginning with this person? What could you do for that?
That's kind of what I was talking about earlier, about the management team and the musician. The management team's anxious. What does the musician do? Or the management team is seeing the musician anxious. What does the management team do? So that's a good question. The person that's not anxious, that's exposed to the person that is anxious, has to continue to speak from the I point of view. You can't say anything like, "You have to quit talking that way to me.
You crazy.
You crazy. That ain't ever going to work. Never." So the yous don't work, because every time you start a sentence with you, really, just about every time, it comes out accusatory.
That's not good.
And that makes the anxiety of whoever that other person is go higher, go up. But when you talk from I like the way you just said that to me. I think this is going to work if we don't try to work 14 hours, just work 10. Talking from the I point of view.
That makes me feel, I feel like smashing you upside the head when you talk like that. Don't talk like that. like that.
Not exactly
Got
sure
it.
That's what I had in mind, but whatever works.
I got this counseling thing down.
Yes.
Give me a name on my door.
That's right.
So when you, and that's a good thing too, like life felt now, part of that is relationship skills. If you, I mean, in the workplace, at home or whatever, if you can keep from offending somebody, accusing them, pushing their buttons, then you can have a more productive conversation and also relationship.
Absolutely.
Why don't you talk a little bit on that and how the communication, like what you said when you start a sentence with I or whatever, can you elaborate on that? Because I think that is huge, and it's something we don't always think about.
Well, if you have, since I kind of use the example of the management team versus the musician, I mean, it could be a boss and an employee. It could be a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Let's go there. Let's go to mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Let's say you have a mother-in-law that is critical of the daughter-in-law and is saying things like, you need to have supper ready for your husband when he comes home at night.
Yes. Yes.
Or you have to, I don't know, just something critical, just something that a person is criticized for. you're not involving your children in enough activities. Your children aren't in enough sports. You know, it's just things that really are not the mother-in-law's business.
Yes.
They're just not the mother-in-law's business. She's already done her family. She's the support team now. So when you have a situation like that, the question is, what does the daughter-in-law say? What does the musician say if it's the management team? What does the person that's being criticized say? They have to speak in a way that they're not critical back. They cannot get offended. If they get offended, it's like whack. They've been hit and they're then pulled out by their feet all the way down the steps, so to speak. So the way a person gets around that is, again, they talk from the I point of view. You know, we all have a right to say what we like, think, or feel. We all have that right. But I don't have the right to say what you like, think, or feel. That's the crossover line.
Okay, let's do some role play. Now, I'm the mother-in-law, and you're the daughter. Now, my boy, he likes to have his supper ready every time he gets home. And if he's not home and you don't have supper ready when he does get home, you're not being a good wife. And them kids, oh, you got to teach them kids to say stuff like, I love you, Grandma. You the best ever. And you got to tell them kids that they can have as many suckers and many candies as they want to. Honey, they're kids. They can be healthy when they get older.
You sound like Madea. Just for a second. Well, if I was a daughter, I would say, well, thank you for the input. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, honey.
However, I feel a little uncomfortable when you tell me what to do.
Oh, uncomfortable? Honey, give me my purse. I'm going to smack her upside her head. You just unlocked the Madea.
You did. You came right across Madea. I just saw it. So, I mean, I use that in general terms, but the daughter can only say where she is. She can't really say too much about anybody else.
Right.
So if she talks about herself, and she can even take it a little further by saying, I'll take into consideration what you say. That's what I'll do. She didn't say she was going to do it, but she didn't. The daughter did not get offended. She just took it for what it was. Someone voicing what they thought was the right answer.
So how do you keep from getting offended when somebody's pushing your buttons and talking about stuff that's important to you?
You have to know who you are. She knows what kind of mother she is. She knows what kind of wife she is. And if she is not certain, she could be swayed. She could get critical. She could get offended. She could be sucked down the tube.
Right.
But in this case, in this scenario, the daughter knew herself. She knew that she prepared the right meals, or she chose to not prepare the right meal. And I mean, a meal.
Right.
It was her.
That's between her and her husband.
Yes, it was the choice. Like, honey, tonight I'm not having supper at all. Everybody's going to fix their own supper. I have the ingredients in the refrigerator, but you're going to prepare. Now, tomorrow night I'm fixing a roast. But when the mother-in-law comes in and becomes critical and hypersensitive about the way she thinks her child and her grandchildren are being raised, that could create a problem.
Honey, I come over when you fixing that roast. I love how you fix that roast, honey. Nobody can fix it like that, like you do.
That's right. Compliments are beautiful.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we're running out of time again. And Madea, thank you for
showing up
and helping us out. Oh, it's okay. You call me anytime. And well, we have Madea over here. And also, my name is Darren Dixon, and we have licensed clinical social worker, Ms. Brenda Dixon. And if you have any questions, send it to support at LifeHelp Now. You can go to lifehelpnow.com and contact us. When you see this on a podcast, at iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else we have this posted, please review it. Give us, if you like it, give us favorable reviews. And if you don't like it, keep on listening and just try to like it. You don't want to say, "I don't like it." Say, "It makes me feel like I could have room for improvement to learn how to like stuff like this podcast. So I'm going to keep on listening to it till I like it." See, that's what we've learned today in our social help life workingness.
Thank you, Darren. That was light.
Very profound. So we'll see you again next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And we appreciate you. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye. Thank you for listening to the Life Help Now podcast. Please subscribe. And if you like what you hear, write a review and share it with a friend. Visit our website at www.lifehelpnow.com and send us an email and questions on what you would like answered on future podcasts. Ms. Brenda Dixon is also available for phone consultations. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.